Love, the original commandment revealed by Trevor Egaga. Mark chapter 12, verse 29 to 31. And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than this." Man's sole duty in the twilight of King Solomon's days, when the curtains were about to be drawn on the famous poet and songwriter, also known to be the wisest and wealthiest man in his days, he discovered the missing puzzle piece in humanity. After many years of much research and experimentation, he declared, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 to 14, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." This was a king who had attained to a level of achievement in this world unlike no other. In terms of material wealth, he was second to none. He had exceedingly abundant gold, silver, jewelry, castles, innumerable vineyards, beautiful gardens, orchards, water ponds, cattle, horses, and men servants numbering over 12,000, chariots numbering over 1,400. The sheer awesomeness of the architectural design of his castles and throne, and his inestimable collection of artifacts, were second to none in the world. He also had thousands of male and female servants and musicians who performed orchestras with music of all types for his pleasure. He had 700 wives, 300 concubines, from all kinds of races and culture. This means that Solomon would have met with some of his women approximately once a year. So you see, in terms of fulfillment in this carnal realm, to this very day, there is no man like Solomon who had super abundance in material riches. In those days, attaining to an exalted position like King of Israel was like becoming a demigod, because they had virtually unlimited power without checks and balances, like we see today in this present world democratic-like settings. To add to all this, he was endowed with human wisdom above all the men of his era, with which he was able to wisely govern Israel in a period of unparalleled peace in the nation's history. Out of his wisdom, he made famous judgments and wrote proverbs, poems, songs, which drew the listening ears of men of all calibers from various nations of the earth. His exceeding wisdom, riches, and flamboyance attracted much fame to himself and to Israel. Seeing that the heart of man is fixed on gaining the glories of this world, and success in this world is measured by how much a man can gather unto himself, We can consider Solomon as one who achieved this in every sense. In the midst of all this, the observer from without will probably think that Solomon was fulfilled in every area of his life. But it is definitely not so. The book of Ecclesiastes gives a clear picture of Solomon's reflection and summary of life from his own perspective. It is obvious that he never saw true fulfillment where he could say, "I shall not want." In the midst of his earthly glory, he still experienced frustration, bitterness, anger, emotional pain, sorrow, and an unending desire for more and more. He had sought out everything searchable and tried to satisfy his cravings and curiosity on the human level, but he never saw an end to this wanting. He then wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 8, "All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing." True satisfaction and fulfillment equates to stillness, a thing that will continue to elude the men of this age because the heart of man can never be satisfied. You can liken it to the grave that is never satisfied with the flesh of bones, with flesh and bones of the dead, or the barren desert land that is never satisfied with water, or the barren womb that continuously receives but never conceives, and the fire which continuously devours. Proverbs chapter 30 verse 16. The grave, the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and the fire that saith not, it's enough. This is the fate of all men who inhabit the lower dimensions of this present world. All their labors and quests for satisfaction will always be nothing but a mirage before them. They will always seem to be arriving at the desired haven, but never attaining to it. Solomon experienced all of this too. He had investigated and learned many things, but realized at the end of it all that it was nothing but a merry-go-round in a never-ending circle, which only wore him out at the end of it all. After much meditation, he declared, "Investigations and inventions of men will never end, and all they do is wear men out. But to find true fulfillment in all things, there is only one thing that is needed, which is fearing God and keeping his commandments. This is the only profitable thing in this present life and in the ages to come." Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 12 to 14. Solomon had just gotten a revelation to the missing key to fill the void in his own life. Like every man born into this world, he had been searching for the key in trying to gather riches and fame unto himself. But from the look of it, these things never did magic. He was also searching for the key in the many wives and concubines he gathered unto himself, but he never found it there. After pondering over and over, he came to the conclusion that all is vanity and profitlessness under the sun, and therefore mourned at the futility the men of this age are subjected to. In diligently keeping the fear of the Lord and keeping his commandments, man will discover the true fulfillment he seeks. Definitely, from the little we know, Solomon never attained to the place of true fulfillment. Because in the first place, he did not have the revelation of the commandment of the Lord he spoke about. Benefits of keeping the commandments. To understand what Solomon meant when he spoke about fearing the Lord and keeping the commandments, it would be very helpful going back up to the beginning of the last chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. In the 12th chapter, he starts off by saying, "Remember the Lord your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come, and the days where pleasure cease." He then goes on to describe the systematic wasting away of man as he slips into the realm of the grave, as he forgets the Lord his Creator. In that day when man's youthful vigor and vitality diminishes, and the days of singing upon the spiritual heights of Zion become nothing but a fat, far-fetched, unattainable dream. When the brilliant, glittering morning star and the bright cloud of God that he is disappears from sight, and the eyes and ears become diminished in the ability to perceive the living one and the blessed realm. When the eternal fountain of living water of delights become inaccessible to man because the pitcher has no ability to retain it. In the day when man lays his bed in the dust, where there is neither wisdom nor knowledge. All these describe how man loses knowledge of his glorious, radiant self as he submits to the lower voices from the dust below. The grave is the ever-sinking realm of the dead who lose knowledge of the true God of love, who richly blesses man with every spiritual blessing. Moved by the Spirit of God, Solomon started off in the last chapter of Ecclesiastes by revealing how man systematically slips away from his glorious realm and inheritance in God by forgetting, or in other words, deviating from the Lord his Creator. This Lord his Creator is the one who says, "Beside me there is no other." Read Isaiah chapter 45, verse 5 to 6. "I am the Lord and there is none else. There is no God besides me. I give thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord and there is none else." He is also the one who says, "I am he that liveth." Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. "I am he that liveth." From all this, it is crystal clear that there is only one that lives, the Lord himself. Anyone who lives solely on account of the Lord. Living outside this reality is death. Consider these words of Jesus. "As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Any man who lives, lives by the name of the Lord. Anything apart from this is death. Forgetting the Lord is forgetting your true, invisible, incorruptible, radiant, glorious self from eternity." This describes the deep slumber man falls into when he walks erroneously in the flesh, deceiving himself, thinking that he is a terrestrial creature with some sort of belonging to this carnal realm, and neglecting the substance he is made of. Don't you know that the Lord of glory is your true life? Isn't it written that when the Lord, who is our life, appears, we appear with him? In Colossians chapter 3, verse 14. In other words, his appearing is our appearing. It is the unveiling of our true radiant self from eternity. This is not a moment for lamentation, self-pity, or murmuring. Rather, it's a moment to stand still and receive the witness from above, which testifies of this invaluable treasure hidden within your earthly tabernacles. Receive these words freely with gratitude and allow it lead you out of the realm of the grave where corruption, sin, and death reign supreme. Remember your place among the Pleiades and among the bright clouds of heaven. Repent of your forgetfulness and reign once more in true abundance. Radiate once more as the morning star that you are. Awake and ascend upon the heights of Zion with a new song unto the praise of the Lord your God. The last chapter of Ecclesiastes starts off with remembrance of the Lord and ends with fear God and keep his commandments. Solomon intends to say that if any man will keep the Lord in remembrance, which is synonymous with keeping the commandments, he will never see the realm of hell and the grave, where those who forget God are cast into. You see this in Psalms chapter 9, verse 7. The faithful man will be ever shielded from the woes and curses that befall the men of this age, in which the spiritual descendants of fallen Adam are buried in their trespasses. I have come to fulfill the law. The big question on the lip of every man is, how can we fear the Lord and keep his commandments and partake of the beauty of his reign? The Jews knew there was tremendous benefit in obeying the commandments. That is why they had so many rituals that included recitations of the laws of Moses, etc., etc. Some recite the laws of Moses and the Psalms virtually every day of their life, seeking to keep themselves focused on the commandments of God. In trying to keep the commandments, many others have subjected their bodies to much fasting, abstaining from certain foods and beverages, all with the hope of attaining to this elevated place. Some subject themselves to isolation, others become more and more outwardly religious, etc., etc. From the look of the things, these methods have not drawn man an inch closer to that bliss that Eden represents. Some have had a glimpse of this realm, but we are never able to abide in that place. Rather, they formed religion out of the little they saw. Outwardly pious men have come and gone, but from the look of things, they never truly attained to the place that Jesus says he has prepared for his beloved. It is more and more evident that the answer to fearing God and keeping his commandments is much deeper than we know. Even though there is a desire to rediscover God's paradise, and a witness within man tells him there's got to be a path to joy unspeakable, a place of rest, eternal delight and stillness, man simply does not have the answer. In the 28th chapter of Job, Job speaks about this precious realm where darkness, synonymous with spiritual ignorance, comes to a grinding halt, and man rediscovers his glorious state in Eden, in God. Job chapter 28, verse 1. Surely there is a vein for silver and a place for gold where they find it. He put on an end to darkness and searched out all perfection, the stones of darkness and the shadow of death. As for the earth, out of it comes out bread, and underneath it is turned up as it were fire. The stones of it are the place of sapphires, and it has dust of gold. The question is, how can this path to life be found? The Spirit revealed through Job that the path to this consciousness of pure light is hidden from all men of this age. The depth of the sea and death and destruction, which is synonymous with the world where those who forget God inhabit, only mere rumors of this place called paradise, but it remains a mystery. Job chapter 28, verse 13 to 22. Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. The depth saith, it is not found in me, and the sea saith, it is not with me. Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living, and kept close from the fowls of the air, destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. From all this, it is obvious that this precious reality is veiled from man of this age who has laid his bed in hell. Even King Solomon, in all of his worldly glory, was in reality just one of those who inhabit the lower dimension of the dead. In his earthly glory, he remains less than the least of those who rediscover their place and life. Yes, he wrote many things and was the wisest of the men in this age, but at that time, he was not endowed with the ability to truly see and understand some of the things that he wrote. The 28th chapter of Job ends up with a similar solution to that of King Solomon, when he declares that the path to this inestimable treasure is in the fear of the Lord and departing from evil. I may ask again, how can we keep the Lord in remembrance, fear the Lord, keep his commandments, and depart from evil? There must of a necessity be a revelation from above. A thundering voice and a flash of lightning from heaven, from the Father of lights in the hearts of the inhabitants of the deep below the world. It is a gift from God. Job chapter 28, verse 23 to 28. God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. For he looketh to the ends of the earth, and seeth under the whole heaven, to make the weight of for the winds. He weighted the water by measure, when he made a decree for the rain, and a way for the lightning of the thunder. Then did he see it, and declare it. He prepared it, yea, and searched it out. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. The thunder and flash of lightning is the same voice from above that says, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. It is the voice that thundered from heaven into the heart of Peter, causing him to utter secret words, thou art the Christ, the anointed without measure, the Son of the living God. The revelation of the lost secret of the Son of God is the pathway to the fear of the Lord and departing evil, which leads man back into the glory of the days of his youth, back in eternity, where true life is at its peak. In thundering into our hearts and illumining our hearts with the flash of his revelation, the Father gives us the revelation of the mystery of the Son of God, so that we can no longer perish in the graveyard of mankind, but rather ascend back into the place of life. John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Because of his love for us, God has commanded his lightning to shine in our hearts, uncovering the hidden secrets of the Son of God. This everlasting life is the splendorous life of the Son of God, which Solomon describes as the days of your youth, the days when you beam with pure light as the transfigured Jesus upon the heights of Zion, and the Alpha and the Omega, the Almighty, in the elevated place of God. The revelation of Christ, the Son of God, has become that like a flash. It comes like a flash of lightning to cause man once more to fulfill the commandment and live. Your religion, whether it be from Moses or any prophet or man, will not help you fulfill the fundamental requirement of fear of the Lord and to keep his commandments. Neither will your treasured beliefs and convictions draw you one inch nearer to God's world. The only thing that is needed is a revelation of the Son of God. This is the pathway into the glory of the Father. Like a flash of lightning and a thundering voice from above, the revelation of I, the Christ within, the beginning of the creation of God, the Holy One, has come to cause man to fulfill the law. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. The revelation of I, the Christ within, the Lord of glory, has come to restore the true rich life of Eden. John chapter 10, verse 10. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. The revelation of Christ within is the workings of the Father, bringing healing to man, lifting his soul out of death and destruction, and crowning him with life. This revelation renews my youthful vigor once more, causing me to sour upon the mounts of Zion with shouts of joy. Psalms 103, verses 1 to 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgiveth all my iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Only the revelation of I, the Christ within, gives me the victory over sin, death, and the grave, so that I can walk in true victory in the glorious liberty of the Son of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55-57. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. From all this, it is plain to see that trying to abide by regulations of do's and don'ts, thinking that we in any way please God through them, is only an illusion. Fearing God and keeping the commandments is fulfilled in getting the revelation of the mystery of the Son of God and adhering to the same. The Father has given us the Spirit today to get us thoroughly educated on the Son of God that we are, individually and corporately. As we get a clearer picture of the nature of the incorruptible and immortal Son within, we are liberated from the sticky corruption that reigns in this world. Freedom from the lust that contaminated the souls of men due to ignorance embedded in their hearts is obtained by embracing this pure doctrine of the mystery of the Christ within. The commandment from the beginning. Keeping the commandments of God is synonymous with remembrance and fear of the Lord, It is all embedded in knowing the secret of the Lord of truth. If a man loves the name of the Lord, he will definitely keep his commandments. This is eternal life. Loving the Lord is all about knowing yourself and the brethren in truth. Falling out of this knowledge is death. This is the ancient line mark that is never to be tampered with. The apostle speaks of a commandment from the beginning, and this commandment has come to us once more as light shining in the darkness of our human ways to give revelation of the true living one in us all. This is the revelation of oneness, declaring God is love. And any man born, conceived, or generated of God loves. It does not say anyone born of God tries to love. Rather, it says any man born of God loves, because it is in his nature to do so. The commandment is that we maintain ourselves unblemished in the bond of oneness of the Spirit in pure love, because we are one body. Jesus never came to make us one body. Rather, he came to reveal that we are one. That one is the only true God and eternal life. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. Nothing that we as men can do in our infinitely low definition of what life is can ever tamper with that oneness. It is unbreakable throughout all eternity. When a man is consciously absent from this reality of this oneness, he is in outer darkness and will suffer many unnecessary hurts that will plunge him into an endless destruction. Discord among brethren is brought out of the fact that the understanding of man becomes darkened, so that he is unable to discern the Lord's body, which fills all in all. The wisdom of this world, which is derived from carnal reasoning, causes men to walk in misalignment mentally from the body of God. For this reason, we are admonished to shun the darkness of this world, because all that is in this world is the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. This diabolical perception of the creation by this present world system hides the reality of God's body from man's sight. Hence, the spiritual wickedness we see in this present world system. If any man loves this system, the love of God is not for him or not in him. Hence, the need to forsake this present world and the lusts associated with it to rediscover God's realm, our realm. Why lust and seek for vainglory? Don't you know that the earth and all that is in it is the Lord's? Don't you know that all things are yours? The wisdom, the glory, the majesty, the power rests with the Holy One of God throughout all eternity. Awake in him and know that I am he. Striving for the goods and glories of this material world only multiplies your sorrows. Stand still and know that all things are yours. Put on your spiritual eye and enjoy all things. They are yours for your pleasure. Do not say, I'm afraid, neither ask, what will I eat and what will I wear? Because I will never leave you nor forsake you. Just be still and trust in my name, and I will bring your dreams of glory to pass. Again, the old and only commandment from the beginning has come once more as the new commandment, because ignorance of our universal oneness in the true living one is passing as a revelation of Christ done on man. 1 John chapter 2, verse 7 to 9. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that seeth is in the light and hateth his brother is in the darkness even unto now. Love is the commandment, and God is love. God is the living one. God is above all, through all, and in us all. Let this doctrine of love lift every man out of the deep waters back into their heights in God, where you will discover a joy and peace that the world is unaware of. The end of the faith is rediscovering the true, rich, abundant life that has eluded men for ages. And it comes by allowing the revelation of love and oneness lead us back into this one man in whom the fullness of the Godhead dwells. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Do you have ears to hear? Can you hear what the Spirit is saying? There is only one, and it is the Lord your God. It is in you and in your neighbor. Therefore, love the Lord your God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. Awakening back into this divine oneness beyond the comprehension of man is the key into delight and true fulfillment. Oneness in the Lord is the key out of hell and death, back into paradise. Fear the Lord and keeping his holy commandments of oneness comes by remembrance of the Lord, who is the one that lives. He is in you all. I will round up with the lyrics of Nature Boy, a song by Nat King Cole. This is one wise man who wandered far in search for understanding. He ended up discovering love was the greatest of all things he had learned. There was a boy, a very strange, enchanted boy. They say he wandered very far over land and sea. A little shy and sad of eye, but very wise was he. And then one day, a magic day, he came my way. And while we spoke of many things, fools and kings, this he said to me: the greatest thing you'll ever learn is just to love and be loved in return. Blessings, Trevor and Emmy Nenny Egaga.